You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
This is some serious access we've got from our own resident champion. Chris Jericho is a ringer. He wins. That's all he does. Last week, 3-2. Colin Cowherd, 2-3. So we've gotten off to a good start. We are 7-3. Colin Cowherd is 4-6. And this has become an important thing in his life. So he makes time for us, even on the busy days. You are at the center of the spectacle tonight in record ratings, giant stadiums. What are you doing tonight as you guys try to grab more and more of the marketplace in wrestling?
In New York City, man, it's the place to be tonight at Arthur Ashe Stadium. I think we've sold about 20,000 tickets. 19,242 of those are specifically there to see me, Le Champion. So it's me and Jake Hager, my inner circle brethren, versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, managed by that fat-faced dipshit Dan Lambert of America's Top Team, the number one MMA training center in the universe. And for some reason, he decided to stick his nose into AEW. And now we will break that nose in half, bite it off like King Haku in Japan, spit it on the floor. That's what we're going to do.
He is still doing it after all of these years. Le Champion, AEW Rampage, every Friday at 10 p.m. So you could say it. I mean, this is a bit shocking, is it not, Mike? I mean, you love wrestling and have loved wrestling all your life, but it's a bit shocking to see wrestling in 2021 on a company that's a secondary wrestling company, or has been, because they're just starting, and they got a Friday night event now that they're doing.
This is super exciting for lifelong fans of professional wrestling like myself, because, and Tony, when he's in with us in studio or whenever we talk to him privately, he's always been very careful to not take any shots at WWE, because most wrestling fans are like me. We want everything to be good. And right now, the wrestling business is as hot as it's been.
I can't believe it.
Since maybe WrestleMania, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens and that storyline.
I can't believe it, Chris. Seriously, it doesn't make sense for two wrestling companies to come out of this and there be enough trough for both of them.
Well, I mean, if you look at the history of the business, I mean, it does make sense, because it happened in the 90s with WCW, Ted Turner's company. Ironically enough, the last wrestling company that was on TNT was able to do that as well. They weren't able to sustain it the way that AEW will. The point is, there's room. It's like having two different hockey teams or two different football teams or whatever it may be. There is room for both, because people are fans of both, and then other people are fans of one or the other. And the thing that's most importantly, and I think I said this last week when I was on the show, is AEW now has the cool factor. People that are kind of on the fringe of wrestling are like, what's this AEW? We're hearing about it every single day. And that's evident, and once again, here in New York City, with legit, I was kidding before, but we have sold 20,000 tickets to this Arthur Ashe Stadium. that's almost double and a half what WWE sold for Madison Square Garden just a few weeks ago. So you can see that people are making a decision to watch AEW and to come to our shows. And that's because it is different from what WWE is. And I think people are very excited about that because we have an alternate slant of what pro wrestling is. And it's a fresh take on it that people are very excited about, including me.
Was it Jack Action? Was that his name?
Yeah, that's when he started.
He was almost...
Can't get enough of it.
He was, well, I can't get enough of it because I can't believe the trajectory of the career that has him post-50 reinventing himself and another wrestling company and to his spirit animal, a really creative one. Like, the storytelling is rich. There's care on the product. But
the most amazing thing as a wrestling fan is Chris, at this point in his career, when WWE was the only game in town, he'd be classified as a part-timer. Like, why? Chris Jericho is a massive draw. He doesn't have to be in week in, week out on TV, wrestling, doing house shows, and on top of that, his band, but he is always stuck with it. He hasn't, outside of like one sabbatical where he tried out Hollywood, he's been week in, week out, a grinder, and in his 50s now to be a grinder still, I'm just in complete awe of it.
No, it's crazy. I don't know how your body holds up on this with your schedule and on the side, hey, I'm going to do metal music.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that last statement, but my body's fine. My body's better than it's ever been. I mean, we've talked before how I started doing DDP yoga when I was having some back problems. It was about 10 years ago now. All that's gone away. I still train with weights, but do mostly kickboxing. So that has kind of helped me as far as my training and my body goes. And, you know, doing metal music, it's what I've always done since I was a kid. As we talked about this last week, I wanted to be in a rock band and I wanted to be a wrestler and just focus my life on that accordingly. So the reason why I'm doing this, still doing this, as you guys put it, is because I'm enjoying it. I'm having a blast. If there was no AEW, I don't think I'd still be wrestling right now. If I was, I'd probably just be doing it a few times a year in New Japan Pro Wrestling over in Japan, because it mentally, it's just so much fun. And that's what it should be. That's what wrestling should be if you're doing it, is fun. And this company is that. This company allows me to be an artist, allows me to be creative. I just came up with 10 weeks of TV last night that I sent to Tony Khan that we were working out as far as what the plans are going to be for the next few months. And some of the stuff we'll use and some of it we're still got to work on. But I never had that option in WWE. And not that WWE is bad. WWE is a huge company. It was fun to work there, but it's way more fun to be in AEW. And I feel like I can be extra creative here. And there's no pressure, and I can just be Chris Jericho, which makes things that much easier.
Holy shit, Jericho. So you're telling me that you're not only touring with Fozzy, and you're not only helping carry around this new wrestling enterprise, you're telling me that you have time, that you're writing this stuff too, that you want to get in the game on, like, wait a minute, I don't want to just be the star of the show. I want in on creative writing.
Well, but that's the way it's been since I first came to AEW. When we said that we don't have writers, people are like, oh, how can you run a wrestling company without writers? We do not have writers. We have no writers whatsoever. So if you're not writing ideas down and coming up with thoughts, you're not fulfilling your true potential, shall we say. And I'm sure that other people don't have a problem not writing ideas down, but I have ideas. I know what Tony Khan wants to do as far as what direction he wants to go. And that's why the stuff that I've done has been, you know, if I could be so bold, it's been pretty damn good from the moment I got to AEW's, because I have a lot of input in the creating of it, and running it past Tony as a kind of a conduit, as a co-writer, writing songs together. And, you know, that's the way it should be once again, because nobody knows my character more than I do. No one has the experience level that I have in AEW. To put together stories, and it's fun to do. And once again, in WWE, I had the input, but I didn't have as much as I do here, which is a little bit of a pressure because you have to think of stuff. But when you do, it's done. We don't have to worry about it. It's not a week to week thing. We always have stuff planned out a month or 2 months ahead. And that makes it a lot easier to accomplish what you want to accomplish with the story when you know where you want to go with what you're doing.
It's just cool, though, because your investment has been made with your whole heart. I thought you were going over there sort of mercenary. Let me see if I could pick up the rest of my wrestling career here by being a renegade. But you're like, no, 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 no. I want in on every element of this startup. I want all parts of this story. You're thinking about what your impact on this is going to be after you're done with your body, right? Because, like, you love the creating as much as you love the wrestling.
Yeah. And from a selfish standpoint, I like creating for myself. You know, I know what I think I can really accomplish and what I can do. And writing for others, maybe not something that I'm as into, but definitely in AEW, it's a whole new world as far as the creative ideas that I have and the creative input that I have. So, and anybody that knows me knows I don't do anything just for a paycheck. Like, oh, I'll just coast when I get here. Like, I couldn't afford to do that in AEW. There was no coasting for me because we had to make a mark, and we had to make a mark quickly in our company when we started out, because there was no guarantees. We first started out as a ad revenue share on our show. And 3 months in, our demos were so high that then we got the, you know, $175 million contract from TNT for Dynamite. And when that contract is up, if the demos continue to hit where we're hitting now and get even higher, I expect that contract to double or even triple the next time we're in negotiations. So there's a lot at stake. And a lot of that was squarely on my shoulders at the beginning. It's not now, but we were able to spread the wealth, so to speak, as far as the guys that are carrying the load here. I'm still one of them, but it's not just completely me anymore. And that's due to the work that we've done when we first started this company.
I'm taking the opportunity to geek out a little bit.
It's crazy. Story's crazy.
It's insane.
Mike.
And
basically what he's saying is that he and Tony Khan get into a room. There are all other permutations, but he was first. And you guys dream this whole thing up right down to, we'll write the storylines because we love wrestling like that.
And his storylines are still connecting in ways that they did. Like, your fastball is still incredible. Labors of Jericho is probably going to be in the top 15 things in terms of great storylines you've been associated with. It's probably in the top 15. That's not a slight on Labors of Jericho. It just shows how many great storylines you've had.
No, I appreciate you saying that, you know, and you know, that came directly from Greek mythology, from the labors of Hercules. And I've always been kind of into that sort of thing. So I thought, oh, the labors of Jericho, that sounds fun. And when you put these things together, some of them work, some of them don't work as well. And some of them become semi-legendary, like the labors of Jericho. And you know, to me, it was just an idea and people really latched onto it, and it did great numbers and great ratings. I mean, that MJF Jericho story was over a year. And who writes a story nowadays that goes over a year in wrestling or anything? You know, that's 52 weeks plus change of this tale that we were telling. And I'm very proud of that as well, because once again, we put a lot of thought into it and it was organized. And it wasn't like, what are we gonna do next week? Let's change this. Just saying that we had an idea months in advance of, did we think it was gonna go a year? No. But did we know that it was good and there was no reason to rush it? Yes. And that's why we're able to do it for a full year. So I don't think I would have the opportunity to do that anywhere else.
Now, one of the most unintentionally funny moments of the wrestling year happened during one of your Labors of Jericho matches. And I'm sure you could put together a book of just things that ended up working out funny when that wasn't the intention. But you were in a death match, and you get a pizza slicer taken to your forehead, and the picture-in-picture commercial break is, I think, of a Papa John's commercial at the same time. Totally not meant to happen, I'm guessing, that way, but it was a minor controversy. I couldn't help but notice the following week you had a different pizza sponsor in the picture-in-picture. How did that go by backstage?
I think it was Domino's that came out, and they were totally, like, mortified over the fact there was a pizza cutter, and it was... I mean, you couldn't write that. You couldn't plan it. It literally was just a coincidence. And if I was Domino's, I would have gone full into it. There'd be a Chris Jericho pizza cutter commercial on the air right now. Like,
how could they not have done that? It was such a
great... I agree.
It's such a great marketing opportunity. The corporations are still afraid of wrestling, even something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But
you could have been writing for Domino's. You would have written those commercials yourself.
We would have sold more Domino's pizza in a month than they sold in a whole year if they would have embraced it.
Unbelievable. How does that happen? That's ridiculous. What a lost opportunity. All right, let's do this with Jericho. I want another story, though. What if, do you have something in your career that you look at and say, that was something that worked out great, unintentionally funny, or we were going for something else, but the laugh we got was better because it didn't happen the right way?
I mean, I think the best thing about wrestling is just you got to go with the flow. And sometimes you come up with something like Le Champion, for example, or a little bit of the bubbly. I mean, who the hell would ever have expected that that would have become what it was? I mean, I said it as a throwaway line on the pay-per-view after I won the title. I was way more laughing at my Spinal Tap line, where there was like, there's an olive, and look, there's no one in there, and there's a little guy in there, because they had a little, this terrible little deli tray. And I thought the Spinal Tap line was hilarious. Then I went a little bit of the bubbly, like Dumb and Dumber. And suddenly it's a meme. It's all over the freaking place. It's, you know, people are using that sound bite everywhere. And you know me, well, let's make 50,000 bottles of a little bit of the bubbly champagne and right, sell those, which we did, you know, and created a whole catchphrase. And you just got to go with it. I never would have expected that a little bit of the bubbly would have ended up the, you know, phenomenon that it did. But it did. People got into it and they loved it. And you just got to kind of roll with it and take advantage of it. So once again, that's the best thing about wrestling or anything in show business. I'm sure you guys have had the same. You just got to keep your ear to the ground. And when something works, you roll with it.
AEW Dynamite every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. They've got a legit event tonight, 10 p.m. In the streaming age where everyone's looking for your dollars, AEW Rampage every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. They've got people gathered around and they are filling stadiums. I really can't believe that I'm a 52-year-old person and this is still this thing the way it is. But let's go ahead and get to why it is we've got him here to pick some games.
And now, it is time for Celebrity Prognosticator. Let's win some money.
Bears at Browns. Browns a 7-point favorite at home.
Oh, geez, man. I'm not a fan of either of these teams, but we were in Cleveland last week, so I'll go with the Browns.
Mike Ryan, Jericho says he's not a fan of either of these teams. Do you want to take it up?
It's the worst name in sports history, the Browns.
I mean,
it's terrible.
It was an egotistical owner that named the team after his last name. So,
as if you wouldn't call them the Jerichos if you could.
Yeah, but Jericho's a much cooler name than Brown.
All right, settle down, Jack Action.
It's like the Cleveland Poops is what it reminds me of every time.
Geez, come on, Jericho. We were getting along so well.
Chargers at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 6.5. Who you got?
Who owned the Chiefs? Owns. I'm going with the Chiefs, man.
Saints at Patriots.
A little slap shot for you there.
Thank you. I know. I love that you're really feeling the thespian inside you. Saints at Patriots. Patriots minus 2.5.
I'm going to go with Saints because I just listened to the Judas Priest song Saints in Hell the other day. So I'm going to go with the Saints.
Of course you did. Of course you were listening to that. What do you wake up to? Does your alarm clock go off and it's just
right
buzzing?
Right now it's Big City Nights by the Scorpions. I put that on there. So I woke up to that about 20 minutes before I came on your show.
So you sleep 4 hours a night and you're chewing glass in your sleep and you're thinking of how you're going to conquer the world everywhere. And then your phone goes off and what it's playing is only the most aggressive of metals, correct? Wake up, dipshit.
I mean, Scorpions is not the most aggressive of metal. It's a good big city nights. It's good.
Chris, at the party, you're the guy demanding the aux cord, though, right? You're in charge of the music when you go to a party, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, first of all, most of the parties I go to are at my house anyway, so I can be in charge of the music. And if I go to somebody else's party, I just take over the music. You can't have a party without listening to good rock and roll. Nobody wants to hear freaking house music or EDM music, and nobody cares about that. They want to hear rock and roll. That's a party.
Buccaneers at Rams. Rams are a 1.5-point dog at home.
I'm going with the Bucs, baby. My boy Tom Brady.
Is he your boy?
Oh, he is. Yeah, I got off. I fly in a private plane sometimes, Dan. And I got off the plane a couple months ago, and his plane, which was three times the size of mine, was literally right beside mine, and I got off and he was standing there, and I went over and we had a conversation. We had a fun time. We talked a little bit on DM on Instagram after.
Oh, so he knows him. So he knows he's a fan of Jericho as well.
He knows who I am. I mean, most people know of me, Dan. They might not be a fan per se, but he knew who I was.
So. Two goats. Who would have thought 20 years ago that Tom Brady and Chris Jericho would be at the top of their game having private combos at the executive airports.
Jets next to each other and Jericho absorbing, man, his jet's a lot bigger than mine. I better get to work in the morning. I don't have enough.
I said that. I said, Tom, you got the big boy jet. He goes, they both get you where you want to go. And I said, that's a good point. Good point. So thanks for that, Tom.
But you never imagine.
Not at all patronizing from the guy with the jet three times bigger. I would say that too.
He really was looking down his nose. You're not boys at all. In fact, he's looking down on you and your little piddly
Did
private
jet. Yeah. Did he call it cute?
Your little teacup Maltese of
a
jet.
I had that one once.
Yeah, Jericho, your success is cute, but look at my success.
That's a good little plane for you.
Oh, for you, the second dig.
It's so great because he's like a metal star and he's a wrestling star. And he's like, you know what, Tom? You're right. You're not many I can say it about that are better than me. But, you know, Tom, you're better than everyone. It's so good. Seahawks at Vikings. Vikings, a 1.5-point dog at home.
My wife's going to kill me, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks this week. I just don't see the Vikings having any steam this year, man. They got a lot of problems in that organization.
All right. We're very happy to have you again. Good luck tonight. AEW Rampage every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. We hope you're back next week, Jericho. Good catching up with you.
Of course I'm going to be back next week. Who's going to beat me? Tom Brady? He won't call your show.
And certainly not Dan Lambert. Go easy on him, though. We need him to buy Omani Diaz.
Fat-faced dipshit.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call?
Well, strike one would be strike! And then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low. You got your hands behind the catcher. All right. The right arm goes up into the air. Yeah! And then you finish it with the punch. The right arm flings way up into the air. Ha!
Ha! I wish I could see that. It's terrible. The audio's great.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
You know, we can't help ourselves around here. Wherever there's an intersection of political stuff or cultural stuff or religious stuff, and it intersects with sports. We like to tackle it. So there is a football player, a cornerback from Stetson, an FCS school. He's suing the NFL for religious discrimination. He was not drafted, not invited as a free agent to any training camps, and he claims it's because of his religious beliefs. Ricky Sykes Scanlon was a second-team FCS All-American corner, led the Gulf Coast League in interceptions, and he's with us now because I want to talk to him about the validity of this thing. Ricky, thank you for making the time for us. What are you claiming here that you're finding objectionable with the NFL?
Hell yeah, thanks a lot for having me on the show. I got to tell you, it's a thrill of a lifetime. I've been listening to or watching ESPN my whole life. And to be on here, man, it's just a kick in the pants. And I just want to thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on with us. But can we, I'd like to get to the merits of your case.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a man of faith. I go about 195, about 5'10", but I'll light you up if you come over the middle. And I do it all through my faith. It's central to who I am. You ask anything, anyone in my community, my family, my extended family, that's my rock. That's my faith. And I never in a million years thought my faith would rob me the ability to play football. But that's clearly what's happened here. There are a bunch of teams that didn't even look at me for drafting me. I had a pro day. There was only two teams that even showed up. I got no invites to training camps, despite the fact that I was second team All-American FCS. And you know what? God damn it. I mean, if it's my faith, then it's my faith. I'll go down on it, but that's wrong. And that's not what this country is about. So I've lawyered up and we're going right at the big dog. We're going right at the NFL.
Do you have proof, though? You can't just say it's your faith. What are the claims? What are you claiming? Where's your proof?
I mean, here's the thing. I did a couple team interviews. My faith is very important to me. I was raised to believe in our Lord and the overlord, Satan. And I've been brought up that Satan is my guiding force, the one who sees from the darkness. Some people call him Magog, Beelzebub, Lucifer, the Goat King, however you refer to him. Every day, I look to Satan for guidance. Apparently, some teams were uncomfortable with that. They're fine with faith so long as it's the right kind of faith. And God forbid, as an American, I exercise my freedom of religion to believe in my Lord Satan, the great deceiver, as they call him, Belial. And apparently, some teams weren't comfortable with that. And I heard through the grapevine, they didn't want that in their locker room. And that's wrong, Dan. There's a lot of misconceptions about Satanists out there, but I'm just like you. I'm just like anyone else. I wake up in the morning. I pray to the dark Lord. And yeah, occasionally I go into the woods and maybe I'll kill a chicken and I'll put some blood down in the shape of a pentagram, which to me is no more different than the Christians. Don't you Christians go up on mountaintops and kill lambs for God? It's the same thing. And most of all, it's my right as an American. This is protected by the Constitution. So I've lawyered up. We're going right at them. We think we've got a rock solid case.
Ricky, Mike just handed me, you ran a 4.940. Your vertical leap is 26 inches. You didn't even complete the shuttle drill. This isn't about your religious beliefs.
You know what? I've got game speed, Dan. You got to look at the tape with me. Those numbers. And also, can I tell you something right now? I know you guys throw it around a lot. That shuttle drill is confusing. And they act like, oh, let's do the shuttle drill. And apparently that doesn't involve tackling. So there was an incident where I tackled the gentleman who was holding the stopwatch. And apparently that made my time NA, which I don't know if you're familiar with. It stands for not applicable. And this isn't about a shuttle drill. This isn't about my 40 time. I could list dozens and hundreds of players in the NFL that have game speed, that have run 4.9s and have had great careers. This is about my belief, and this is about me being chastised and oppressed because I have an abiding faith that guides me through the day, and that when I have a moment of doubt in my life, I take a moment And I pray and I see a darkness with two red animal eyes staring back at me. And I know that is my dark lord. That is the goat king. That is the great deceiver, Belial. And he guides me through my life. And there were many people, and I had it. Hell, I had it when I was at Stetson, when I was playing DB at Stetson. I took flack because, you know, there's a lot of players that have a crucifix tattooed on their neck. And yes, I have a pentagram tattooed on my neck. And on the other side of my neck, I have a 666. And on my back, I have a giant bloody-faced goat who is indeed making love to a woman. And there was judgment about that. And I told them, I said, look, gentlemen, I'm going to play my guts out for you, but you don't judge my religion. This is who I am. And there is no reason. I'm not saying I had to be drafted, Dan Le Batard. And I'm just saying, invite me to a camp. Let me get my nose in there and let me show you what I can do. And I didn't get that opportunity because of my faith. Have you ever seen the movie, Dan? It's an old one, but a friend of mine hit me to it. It's called Chariots of Fire. That's exactly what my story is.
Ricky, that's not your story, because I'm reading now, catching up on your story, and Stetson is a Baptist school, and you got suspended for putting a pig head in your coach's office as part of a religious ceremony.
So you're showing your ignorance right there. My coach had the flu, and as a practicing Satanist, that is how you help someone. A pig's head, when put under the guise of the goat king, of the all-seeing deceiver, can help someone overcome sickness. So I tried to help my coach. The same way, if you had a friend who wasn't feeling good, I don't know that much about Christianity, but you might put a Christmas stocking with a candy cane in it for him. Oh, I hope you feel better. Or maybe you would hold that weird metal thing with the smoke coming out of it that they have in church. You might do that. Well, I did my religion. I put a goat's head in his locker. And guess what happened? 2 days later, maybe it was about 4 days later, his flu went away.
I don't think that that's because of the pig's head.
That's, by the way, that's discriminatory, what you just said. Exactly what you just said is discriminatory. Look, Dan, there's a lot of misconceptions about Satanists out there. I think people think we're dancing around in the woods, doing crazy, speaking backwards. We're killing dogs. You know, that gentleman, the Night Stalker, there's a lot of bad beliefs about Satanism because of the horrible acts that he did. And I condemn them 100%. But we are just like you. And I would remind you, Charles Manson at one point had a crucifix tattooed on his head. Well, I didn't see everyone going, oh, all Christians are serial killers. I'm a simple man. I wake up in the morning. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I pray to Magog, the all-seeing deceiver, and I pray that his dark hand of pestilence shall guide me through my day in a true and strong way, and that I shall undermine all of my enemies, and they shall befall according to the Mephistophelian hand of the goat king. And then at night, I go in the woods with a bunch of other gentlemen, some teenagers, a couple old transients. And yes, we do disembowel chickens, and we play from a lute, apparently, that was carried over from the ancient Druids in Ireland, in what was then not called Ireland. And we play that lute while we disembowel chickens. And occasionally we'll wall a cat up behind a brick wall, and we will pray to the sounds of its suffering as it slowly starves to death. But you know what? At the end of the day, Dan, I'm a hell of a cornerback.
Mike, Ricky, we can't keep talking to you. This is not religious discrimination. It's ridiculous. This is not your, come on. Thank you for the time.
I'll flip my hips and I'll get in. I can backpedal with the best of them. I'll flip my hips. I've got great ball awareness.
Ricky.
I'm able to turn my head while running full speed, Ricky, so I can see the ball in flight. I deserve a chance.
Ricky, this is not religious discrimination. It's absurd. You've wasted everybody's time. And I'm sorry that you're doing that to those chickens. Get out of here. Thank you for your time.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.